It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. Deadly storms hit several states hard this week. People looked to their computers, to their phones, any device they could to find out what was going on and what would happen next. Steve Chiatakis is one of the hosts of our sister show, Marketplace Morning Report. He was in Alabama.
I was actually staying with my parents, and we were sort of huddled in a place that of safety, and we still had power for the most part, and I was trying to figure out what was going on, and so I'd get tweets from different TV broadcasters whom I know here in Birmingham and would communicate with them as well about different kinds of paths for each tornado and things like that. So there was a lot of information going back and forth. I thought it was very helpful, and for anybody who was in the path of those storms, I mean, it could have saved some lives.
People can get information, but can technology do more for emergency communications? Blair Levin thinks so. He was director of the FCC's National Broadband Plan. He's now with the Aspen Institute.
First thing that has to happen from, I think, a government point of view is that we have to completely rethink the way we do 911 service. Right now, it is very much based in the technology and the logic of the last century. We're not even at the text stage, much less the mobile broadband stage, in terms of thinking about that kind of emergency communication. But the other thing we need to think of as a society is how do we get the applications that allow us to quickly and effectively communicate with those we love, to report incidents, to get a sense of the map, to get a sense of where communication services are available, or what, healthcare or shelter or whatever. There's all kinds of very good things that can be done. Those really need to be done at the community level, and then there's an educating people on how to use them.
Alabama, which was hit the hardest, is below the national average for broadband internet access and adoption. So no matter what resources are available online, fewer people can get to them. Larry Strickling is administrator for the National Telecommunications and Information Administration.
We clearly have a divide between more rural states and more urban states. We see on average adoption rates in urban areas about 10 percentage points higher than the rural areas. Rural areas, by being lower density in terms of the number of citizens who live in the area, tend to be the last that get built out because there just isn't as much opportunity to make a profit by serving an area that doesn't have enough people living there to generate enough revenue to justify the investment. So yes, we definitely see rural areas and rural states lagging behind urban areas, both in terms of availability and adoption.
What's the bigger problem, access or adoption?
I think they're both serious problems, but what we do know is that roughly 90 to 95% of Americans have access to these services, and only two-thirds actually have subscribed.
I spent a lot of time this week watching my 10-year-old son hunt and peck his way through a three-page report on Charles Darwin. Evolution, natural selection, adapting to environments, it was all in there. After seeing the new version of the Chrome browser that Google just launched, I wonder if the keyboard will fail to adapt. On this browser, you can click on a little microphone icon on a website, talk into your computer's built-in mic, and it translates voice to text. Voice recognition software isn't new, but this is built right into the browser, and that is a big advance. It's great news for people unable to use a keyboard, but it's big news, too, for people who just rather not. My son talks better than he types. How soon until voice replaces fingertips? Will the kids of today grow up talking to the computer, hands folded in their lap? Is that evolution? This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.